demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day. Did you see the Twitter beef that started between RG3 and Jay Gruden, his former head coach, when he was playing for the, at the time, they were the Skins? RG3's, I love RG3, dude. I was a fan of his in college. I was a big-time fan of his when he was a rookie with Washington. I don't know how I feel about him as a media person.
RG3?
Yeah. You like him? I like that he runs like out to college and stuff. Like
in spurts.
Yeah, his Twitter is just... He's the guy that always likes to do the send your apology letters to Russell Wilson, and that stuff drove me nuts.
So this started with Gruden putting out a tweet.
Yeah.
If I ever put a quarterback through what Philly is putting Jalen through, yeah, I apologize. Pick up a blitz.
Mm-hmm.
RG3 responded, say what? With a picture of himself looking down past his glasses.
Yep.
Went on to say, you told me you didn't know how to coach a quarterback who could throw and run like me, so it looks like you weren't prepared, Jay.
Yeah, because Jay commented on that first when he said, say what? Jay Gruden wrote back, you weren't prepared, Robert? And then RG3 said what Angel just said. You told me you didn't know how to coach a quarterback who could throw and run like me, so it looks like you weren't prepared. I love the mic. I think Jay Gruden got the mic drop. I think he got the mic drop on this. He said, you are right. We didn't have a good enough staff. Sorry. Hope all is well with you. Well, you know who was on that staff?
You know who's on that staff?
Like, come on.
Four head coaches right now.
Yeah, that we didn't have a good enough staff. Sean McVay was on that staff. I mean, just...
Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur. Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
I think, was Shanahan on that staff?
Yes, I think. Did he stick around after... After Mike was gone? I just think it's hilarious. That was a perfect comeback. Twitter opens up a different world, man. That was a great comeback by Jay Gruden, getting after RG3. Well, we know for
Head
sure.
Coach Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
OC Kyle Shanahan. Quarterbacks coach Matt LaFleur. Tight ends coach Sean McVay. And offensive assistant Mike McDaniel.
But who was it after Shaney? Because Jay Gruden was the head coach after Mike Shanahan, and I know Sean McVay stuck around. I know Sean McVay was still on that staff. Oh, I saw a hilarious story while you're looking for that. So when Shanny was the head coach at Washington, as you all those guys you just mentioned were there, LaFleur, McVay, McDaniel, all those guys, all those studs. Kyle, obviously. So Kyle was obviously number two. He was Mike Shanahan's kid. He's Mike Shanahan's kid. He was his number two guy. He was his buddy. So Sean McVay was more like an assistant at this point, like an assistant to the assistant regional manager. Mm-hmm. And so McVay thought it would be really cool. He's like, okay, here's Kyle and Mike's playbooks. It rains a lot, and their playbooks are always getting messed up, so I'm going to go laminate them, and I'm going to hook them up, and I made copies. Here you go. I laminated for you. And Kyle, got really upset, and they joke about it now. He got really upset because he likes to make notes on his play sheet and all that, and he couldn't do it with his pen on the laminated piece of paper. So he's like, do we have copies anywhere? And Sean didn't bring the copies out onto the field, so Kyle had to go that entire game without being able to take notes. So it was almost over before it ever started between those two.
Yeah, so Shanahan was there from 2010 to 2013, and Jay Gruden took over in 2014. And coached there for 5 years.
So who was on? We know McVay was still on the staff. I don't know if Kyle stayed on the staff at that point.
So their 2014 staff, yes, Sean McVay was still the OC.
The OC. Yeah. RG3 going after him.
So all those other guys, I think Shanahan and McDaniel, they went to Atlanta. And then I think McVay went to Los Angeles at that point. Or somewhere else in between.
Yeah.
No, McVay was still there. LaFleur went.
LaFleur
went to Green Bay.
Green Bay. That's a crazy coaching tree, like a recent coaching tree right there under Mike Brady. That's why he should be in the Hall of Fame. Well, you're in the Hall of Fame based on what you do as a coach, not guys that you mentor. Sorry, that's not how it works. Not how it works, Angel. Okay. You got Deion Dawkins coming out for the Bills. Not really talking any trash to about Mahomes, but he's just giving us facts, Angel. He flat out said, hey, Mahomes has been in the league for 7 or 8 years. He's never played here. Never played in Buffalo. Well, he did play in Buffalo, but it was the COVID year. And he went back and said, that doesn't count.
Mahomes said that?
Deion Dawkins said, he hasn't played here. He reiterated it. Mm. Said he hasn't played here. What he's meaning is, in front of Bills Mafia, you didn't see the craziness going on in the in the stands and the tailgating and the tables and the snow and all that stuff.
They see that on a regular basis. They're in the stadium at that point, getting warmed up.
You see it on social media, the build up, and then you just know what's
Mahomes
going on.
Mahomes on social media?
Oh, I'm sure he's on something.
I'm sure his wife shows it to him. Patrick, look at this.
I'm sure he's on something. He can see something.
That is a burner somewhere.
Probably. But again, the whole thing surrounding what it is like to play in Buffalo, especially in January, especially in December. But here's the recent history between the two. Since the Bills have had Josh Allen and the Chiefs have had Patrick Mahomes. October 19th, 2020. That was when the Chiefs were at the Bills. And the Chiefs won that game 26-17. No fans in the stands. And this was a crazy game. Mahomes threw 2 touchdowns to Travis Kelce. He became the fastest quarterback to reach 90 touchdown passes, doing it in 37 games, passing Dan Marino's mark of 40 games. Kansas City dominated the time of possession. They had won that by more than 15 minutes. Josh Allen was really bad in that game. He had his lowest passing yardage total. So, who won that battle? Obviously, the Chiefs won, but who won the one-on-one battle? Mahomes threw for 225 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 10 carries for 36 yards. He did fumble it once. Josh Allen threw for, he was 14 of 27 for 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 8 carries for 42 yards. Victory, Mahomes and Chiefs. Next matchup was the Chiefs and Bills. This was in Kansas City, obviously. Chiefs win in the AFC Championship game, January 24th, 2021. Chiefs win 38-24. Mahomes had a day. He had 325 yards, 3 touchdowns. Josh Allen had 287 yards and 2 touchdowns and interception. But he did have 7 carries for 88 yards. So Chiefs dominating this rivalry. Next up, October 10th, 2021, a regular season game. Bills-Chiefs in Kansas City. Bills win big. Josh Allen finally gets one. They win 38-20. Josh Allen had 60 yards rushing, a touchdown, 315 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, compared to Patrick Mahomes's 272 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks. Bad game. Rough game for Mahomes. He also had a fumble lost in that game. Bills win 2-1 in the Allen-Mahomes era. Goes to KC. Next up, January 23rd, 2022. Last year, Chiefs-Bills overtime AFC divisional round. One of the more epic playoff games that I remember watching. This was wild. It was probably one of the greatest games ever. One of the greatest playoff games. The amount of scores we had in such a little amount of time. I mean, if you like that, then this was it. There were 25 points scored and 3 lead changes over the final 2 minutes of regulation. The Chiefs won that one, of course, 42-36. Mahomes in that game, 378 yards, 3 touchdowns, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Allen, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns, 70 yards rushing, a fumble. But just a wild game. Next up, so it's 3-1 now. Chiefs, Mahomes / Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen. October 16th, 2022. Bills, 24. Chiefs, 20. Bills got one. 3-2. In that game, it was another nice night for Josh Allen. 329 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did lose a fumble at 30 yards rushing. Patrick Mahomes, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, 4 carries for 20 yards. Weird game there, but the Bills got it done, 24-20. Let's see. Next, I think there's one more here. December 10th this year, or last year, 2023, Bills win 20-17 over the Chiefs. And in that game, just a couple of weeks ago, Josh Allen threw for, what was that game? I don't have the stats up. But here's their total between each other. They're head-to-head. Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 320 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 fumbles, 1 fumble lost. Patrick Mahomes, 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 200 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, 2 fumbles, 1 fumble lost. So I think it's pretty safe to say this is an epic rivalry. Does the Mahomes-Allen thing kind of remind you? I heard Brian and Tanner talking about it today. Is this like the new Peyton Manning-Tom Brady thing? Is that pretty close to say at this stage? Or do you need Allen to go get a... Allen's got to at least get a Super Bowl before we can...
I don't need Allen to do anything, but...
Well, you're just like this bitter fan, you know?
Bitter? It's a rival. I'm not going to root for them.
Well, I'm not saying you should root for them, but facts. We do facts on this show. Is Josh Allen good? Yes. Is he to the point where... We say this is the new Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Hatred aside.
It's close, but no.
Allen's going to have to get one. Like, he's going to have to get a Super Bowl before you. Because Mahomes has, what, he's at 2 now? He's been to 3? So, Mahomes is Brady. If this is true, Mahomes is Brady and Josh Allen is Peyton Manning. I think Brady had 3 before Manning had got his first. And then ultimately, we know how that worked out. Manning ended up with 2, and Brady ended up with, did he get, is it 7? Is 7 the number? He got 6 with New England?
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up with 7?
But he had 2015 when the Broncos knocked out the Patriots. Brady had 5?
Hmm.
No, 4.
4 because losses?
4 Super Bowl.
Oh,
rings.
4 Super
Because
Bowl.
Then he got his 5th one against Atlanta, 6th one against... the Rams.
Yes.
And then 7 with Tampa.
And that was against the Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm. So in that 2015 playoff matchup, it was Brady with 4, Manning with 1.
Hmm.
As he was going to get his second.
Manning went to 4 Super Bowls, but he lost 2, won 2. Lost to the Saints, Sean Payton's Saints, and he lost to Russell Wilson. He lost to Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. They got blown out of that game.
What an interesting cycle.
Mm-hmm. It was an interesting cycle. Yeah, that's kind of crazy, right? Peyton Manning's 2 Super Bowl losses came to the current head coach of the Denver Broncos, and we think the current starting quarterback for the Broncos as well. Weird. If you can't beat him, join him.
Also beat you. Yeah, that's just so strange.
That is a weird one, dude. That's nuts. 19 minutes after the hour, UNC gets the big win over Sac State. Let's talk about that coming up next. Also, Eric Lacroix going to join us, former Colorado Avalanche, now working for DNVR Avs. Is there a concern with the Colorado Avalanche? And we'll see if Eric has heard anything more about Val and that story going on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears Hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Comes into Hamoda, Langston Reynolds on him. Hamoda pounds the right-hand dribble. Out high in the right. 13 seconds to go. Still pounding the dribble. 9 seconds left. Hamoda right wing against Reynolds. 7 seconds to go. Hamoda dribbles. Keeps dribbling to the baseline. Backs it up. 1 second left. 3 ball tipped by Reynolds. No good! And the Bears survive! Langston Reynolds with the defensive sequence against Hamoda to preserve the win for Northern Colorado.
Bears got the job done last night, and it was a little too close for comfort, but like we're talking about with the CSU Rams, a win is a win. Langston Reynolds, though, dude, coming up with a defensive stop with the block at the buzzer, allowing the Bears to win 77-75 over Sac State in Greeley last night. So Sac State advanced to the front court with 17 seconds left. The Hornets call their final timeout. That's when head coach Steve Smiley drew up a defensive play. He assigned Reynolds to guarding Z Hamoda. And Hamoda had been hitting some big shots. He was 4 of 8 from the three-point line. So he certainly capable of going to win this game. He was 3 of 4 in the second half. He had some close shots that kept bringing them back within reach of this game. But it was Langston Reynolds went up, got the block, end of the game. St. Thomas, another nice night for him. 20 points, 14 in the second half. DeJore Reeves, he had 16 points. This Bears team, Angel, they're really starting to get it together. I don't know, Sac State's not a great team, but this is what you're just trying to win Big Sky games. You're just trying to win conference games, and now they're 3-1 in the conference, and I think they've shocked a few people so far. They're winning the games that they're supposed to win, I guess we should say, and that's big. That's huge.
Yeah, as you said, they're starting to find themselves a bit more just consistently on offense. Obviously, St. Thomas is just that guy, and he is going to go off every single night. Brock Wisney has been, for me, the biggest surprise piece. He's improved a lot since last year. Jaron Riley, his presence on the floor has really solidified that starting lineup. He's very consistent. DeJore Reeves coming off the bench, he is just an electric scorer, really sets the tempo for that second unit. And then a guy that you're not really hearing much from is Riley Abercrombie, a guy who had a good couple of seasons last 2 years. Maybe they're kind of just stashing him away for now, and we'll pull him out when we get to mid-conference play a little bit more. He's a guy that could really elevate this team if he starts hitting his long shots.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if that's kind of carrying over at all or what. But I'm just blown away by St. Thomas, dude. This guy, and again, I know Reeves had a nice night and Langston Reynolds with the defensive play, but every single night now, St. Thomas is putting together these big performances. Every single night, dude, 20-9 and 5 assists.
No, he brings it every night. He brings that energy. I know we've talked to him. He says he feels that the team looks to him in terms of that emotional, checkpoint for those guys on the floor. There was a play last night where it was a quick double team by him and Reynolds, and they both kind of tipped the ball out of bounds, and the ref called it for Sac State, and both of them looked at each other, and they're just screaming at each other in their faces, oh, we almost had it, go look at the replay, mm-hmm. whatever. But you like the energy, you like the teammateship.
Yep, teammateship.
Yeah, so you like the way this team's coming together. I know Coach Smiley's talked about the way that this team is kind of just become more of a unit together. It doesn't yes, Saint's the guy, but you need every piece moving in the same direction, and I think they're finding it.
10-7 now. What was their record last year?
I want to say 12. I want to say 12 was the number of wins they had last season.
Yeah, so they're certainly on pace to soar past that. Hats off to Smiley, man. I mean, replacing the fact that they're 3-1 in the conference and 10-7 today, I mean, I don't know how the rest of the season is going to work out. But the fact that they're there after replacing all the guys you had to over the last, let's just say, couple of seasons, because you had Dalen Koontz, who was a stud, Matt Johnson was a stud, and then obviously Dalton Connect, he's gone. And then 2 years ago it was Bodie Hume. Being able to come in and get these guys who I think they were all kind of unknown. We knew Langston was on the team, and Riley Abercrombie, as you talked about, had certainly some good games last year, sharpshooter.
Theo Hughes, who has taken a bench role at this point.
Sure, yeah. But being able to come in, reload this thing with St. Thomas and Brock Wisney, that guy's solid. Reeves, how good of a player he is at this stage. Smiley's good, man. He's flat out a great head coach. And this is an important year for them. If they can kind of compete in this conference, it'll be big. They got Portland State coming up tomorrow. Portland State's, that's a good basketball team. They've had some, they beat Air Force this year. They lost a close one to a team like Washington State. They beat Fresno State. But then they got smoked by Eastern Washington, which we know how good Eastern Washington is. And they're, the conference, you have to be careful when you look at the non-conference schedule with these teams, because You know, the non-conference will tell you, hey, they're all pretty close. Eastern Washington's 10-7. They had a brutal
schedule. They played like four D1 Power 5 schools out the gate.
So that's a great basketball team right there. And I think Portland State's a pretty good team. But this will be a battle tomorrow for the Bears. See if they can get the job done.
Yeah, I think these next three games, if you can go 2-1 in these next three, then you get a four-game homestand. I think that would set them up really well for that mid-season Big Sky Conference play.
Sure. 29 minutes after the hour, Eric Lacroix coming up next. Let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-two minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, talking all things Avs hockey, former Av himself, Eric Lacroix, of course, working with DNVR Avalanche. So he's bringing Avalanche insight each and every day. Eric, my man, good to catch up with you. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
I appreciate it. How you doing? And it is a lot nicer than it's been.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? And it's much better than freezing and maybe hoping and praying your car is going to start every single morning.
Oh my God! I mean, I had flashbacks of in Montreal when I was growing up. Man, did it get cold in January, February, and you have to plug your cars in. Like, people don't realize. I mean, I'm a bit older, so. But, we had to plug our cars in at night if you didn't have your cars inside the garage. And it was nuts. And I just kind of had flashbacks of that a few days ago. Oh, my God, was it cold.
Do you remember like some of the worst temperatures that you faced throughout those winters?
Man, oh, man. Like, I don't remember. And it's also like Fahrenheit and Celsius. And,
true.
You know what I mean? Like,
Confuse me, dude. Confuse me so much.
Yeah, but it was, it certainly got down there. I mean, these last few days were, man, oh, man. I told my mom, I said, don't you get out of the house. I will get you anything you need. So I called her and I said, you need anything? She's like, I need milk. I'm like, all right, I'll get it. I'll bring it to you.
You being a good son, man. I mean, that's excellent. So, yeah. Eric Lacroix joining us. Eric, okay, so last night, when you're looking at this game between the Bruins, we knew it was going to be a tough battle. Do you feel like the Avs, because they've kind of been the comeback kings lately. I mean, they find themselves down in the third, and then they come back. I mean, the other night, scored like four goals in the third period. Are they playing with fire a little bit here? Is this a concern that they keep kind of finding themselves down early and leaving it up to kind of an epic comeback?
Absolutely, and if you go back to a couple games ago, you have the perfect opponent to do it, right? The Ottawa Senators. Good young team that scores a lot of goals but gives up a boatload, right? You know what I mean? So it's all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball like by three goals, whatever it was, and then you have the perfect opponent because you know that they have a hard time to close out games, and that's what caused DJ Smith, their coach, his job. And then you got the old veteran and Jacques Martin coming in, and he comes out actually against the Avs like a month ago, whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, saying that's exactly what the problem is. We can't close all games, we can't play defense in the third periods. And then so the Avs do it again to them. Now you play Boston last night, like you said, it's not a recipe for success to be behind the eight ball again every game. And then part of that's goaltending, part of that is the eye of the tiger a little bit, where all of a sudden they feel that they need to go and get goals. And it's hard to dominate a game for 60 minutes. It's hard. It doesn't exist. I don't care what people say. And then all of a sudden last night you're playing an opponent in Boston Bruins that got the league record last year in points and, in a season. And so they know how to close out games. You have a goaltender in Swayman that is save percentage and, goals expected and all that stuff. That knows how to close out games and make the big saves when needed. So last night, all of a sudden, they go play in the third. You're like, oh, okay, maybe they'll make a comeback again like they've been doing. And all of a sudden, it was a lesson by the Boston Bruins, right? Well, I think they ended up being like one high dangerous chance by the Avalanche in the third. Not even close to, making a comeback, and you lose the game. So I think it just shows you, you're right, you know, it's not the best recipe to fall behind. Again, you got to give them credit. They're a little banged up, and, you know, they're on a road trip, and you're missing some key guys. And, you know, so all of a sudden, and you're not getting the goaltending that you need, you know, quite frankly, to be at the top of your game. And you get the recipe, and you got, not the recipe, but you get the result that you got last night. And you get bad luck. You get bad luck. I do believe that's, you know, the third goal when it's 2-1, right? All of a sudden that third goal goes under review, and it comes down to what possession, you know, the interpretation of possession. That's all that is. You know what I mean? So for me, that's not possession when you look at the play. And then for the guys at the league office, they feel then they deem that it was possession. Obviously, the Avs coaches and, you know, Brett in the video room felt that it was in possession. That's why they challenged it, or else where else would you do it, you know? But I agree with them. I would have challenged it too, and I just didn't like the outcome because I don't agree with the interpretation of, you know, what possession is. For me, that's not possession. But that's a crucial play in the game, you know? That's a game-winning goal.
No question about it. And when you get down like that, yeah, there's going to be some bad luck. There's going to be some bad calls and things like that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, this Avs team, the good news is they have been finding ways to make those epic comebacks, and they've kind of been known as the comeback kids this season in the NHL. But Eric, when you played and you get into that mode, it's easy for me to say things like, well, you just got to be better in the first. You got to be better early. But what is that mentally? Like, is it, you know, you just are more intense as the game progresses? What do you think's really going on with the psyche of this team?
Well, I think the one problem, and it's not a problem, but it's a problem, is that they believe in themselves, right? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, they got the swag, the confidence. Like, oh, it's okay. You know, we'll come back. You know what I mean? Like, because we'll get the opportunities, and they're right. Usually in a 60-minute game, you know, they're going to get their chances. I mean, they're just, I mean, whenever you have, the way they're built, right? People are like, oh, the depth sometimes not there. Well, it doesn't need to be there. You know what I mean? You have the best centerman in hockey in MacKinnon. You got the, you know, for me, one of the best wingers in hockey in Rantanen. And then you got the best deal on the planet in Makar. So right away, you're built that you can win any night. You know what I mean? So, and they know that. And there's a sense of, but I think Bednar talked about it at the start of the year. Like, it's about winning in the spring, right? So they want to concentrate all year long about, address it after every game the next day as a team and say, okay, if this was a playoff game, would we have really won that game? You know what I mean? Where, you know, sometimes those comebacks don't – I mean, in the playoffs, everybody's a good team. Not that there's bad teams in the NHL, but there's teams that are just, you know, for example, San Jose or Chicago. We all know they're not quite there yet, right? You know, so – or Ottawa, for that matter, that we just saw. So I think it's just a sense of belief, and I think that sometimes it gets the best of you because you're like, you let it slip away. And like I said, and when you do that, you need goaltending to be better than it's been, right? I mean, the save percentage is below 900 pretty much every night. You're talking about a recipe to win. That's a tough one. I mean, you got to outscore your problems in the net. And every game, a lot of those games, if you look in the last 20 games, you know, they score 5, 6, 7 games goals in order to win the game. And that's not a recipe. That's more alarming to me than falling behind, you know, because in the playoffs, that's tough to overcome.
And you've mentioned it a couple of times, too, with Georgiev. How concerned are you about him? Because, you know, we saw when the Avs won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, they didn't have the greatest goaltending in the history of the world, but they were just playing outstanding in every other area. How concerned are you at this stage when you do look ahead at the postseason?
Well, I said it last night on the air on the NVR. They're like, I'm starting to be worried. I'm not sugarcoating it anymore because if you go back to the Avs of 2 years ago with Kemper, I was a big Kemper fan. I liked Darcy Kemper. You know, I feel that they was the right guy to win? I did, and obviously they did too. And they were right because they were vindicated. They won the cup, right? And he had to be good. He didn't have to be great. And then if you go back, Frankie, you know, Francis went in there. I think, what was he, 4-0, 5? I don't remember. I don't have the stats in front of me. But he had to go in a few times, right, against Edmonton, against, was it Nashville that he finished, or whatever it was, St. Louis. He played some games, and he was awesome. And he was good. I mean, both goalies gave them the goaltending enough of what they needed in order to win. Now, my problem with Georgiev right now is, and I'm a big fan of his, and I've been defending him, and, you know, I do believe he's the number one. Now, where do I believe his game is right now is I don't like where it's at. I do believe if compared to a golfer a little bit, like, I do believe he's got the shanks right now. You know what I mean? And it's in your head, and you're just kind of like, and you can't shake it off because and you're going to say, well, he was the goaltender of the, you know, whatever, one of the three stars of the week in the NHL last week. Okay, great, awesome. It was based on two games. I mean, I'm not diminishing anything. I like him. I'm one of his biggest supporters. But right now, like I said, all the Avs need is good goaltending. Not great, good. And I don't feel, and the numbers say it, the eye test says it, my eye test at least, it hasn't been good enough. It's been below average, and that's what's concerning me because it's not good. It's below average, and it's tough to win in this league with below average goaltending.
Eric Lacroix joining us. I love it. Tell it like it is, man. That's certainly something we're all concerned about, and we'll see if they can find something that sparks the goaltending. We'll see. They're at Philadelphia. That's an early game. That's an 11 o'clock game tomorrow. Eric, I wanted to talk to you a bit about, obviously, the Valeri Nichushkin story is a big one. We've talked about his past, too, but entering the NHLPA assistance program. And, you know, we've talked about it. Obviously, you want what's right for him mentally and things like that. But let me ask you on the hockey side of it, how much of an impact is this going to have on the Avs? We don't know how long he's going to be away. Is it going to be a week? Is it going to be a month? But how concerned are you about this situation?
Well, yeah, it is a little nerve-wracking in a sense that, well, hey, you want what's best for the well-being. I mean, the well-being of the athlete, right? I mean, that's one. Two, it's always unknown. And you can't compare it to Sammy, for example, where, you know, Sammy Girard, where it probably a totally different, and I don't know. It's all personal. It's none of my business. And, you know, but I'm sure it was a different situation than, let's say, Val is in. So you can't say, well, Sammy was out for whatever it was, 6 weeks, and then so Val will be back. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they know, and that's why it's the unknown. That's kind of not on the personal side of things, because on the personal side of things, yes, there's nothing you can do. He's under the proper professional hands that, you know, as a team, they don't have control of, and that's none of their business in the sense that that's not what they do. They're Chris, Joe, whatever, Bednar, they're hockey people. They're not his doctors, right? You know, so, but on the flip side of things, it's also a business, and then you have to conduct your team's roster in the sense that you got the trade deadline coming up, and then there's a lot of factors. If you just go back to last year with Landy's unknown injury, right? They knew the injury, but I'm saying unknown when he was going to be back, and then that might have messed up their trade deadline a little bit, you know what I mean? Because they were counting on Landy being back, but it's the same thing here, you know what I mean? So you got to be able to put the personal feelings aside and then put the business, what do we need to do here, and how is this going to play out? So it just kind of puts them in a, like I said, without forgetting about the, you know, obviously thinking about the human being first. That's first and foremost. But on the hockey side, it puts a lot of question marks on what are you able to do and what the future holds for your roster.
No, I think we have to at least talk about that too, because yes, like you said, there's the mental aspect, there's the personal aspect, but it is still a team, it's still a business that at what point do you start really worrying that maybe he's not going to be there for the long haul? We'll see, obviously, how this plays out. But Eric, man, always appreciate you jumping on. We got the grit in action this weekend. I know we're planning a big event to come out as a staff, so we're really excited about that, man. This grit team is just they are just capturing the hearts of so many people throughout Northern Colorado. I'm hearing about them all the time, man. So you guys are doing something right.
Yeah, it's about, I think as a first-year team, it's not always about the wins and losses. I think it's about the wins off the ice. You know, I mean, those guys have been since August in the community and in the schools and, you know, making an impact on the city and the surrounding cities and obviously not Northern Colorado. And then, again, it's not always about the wins and losses. Sure, you want to win every game, but it's a first-year team. They've been doing awesome. When you're talking about atmosphere and people in the at the ice house every weekend, it's been awesome. And like you said, you're excited. People that go there end up being excited once they leave. They had a fun night with the family, with the coworkers, and then what more fun is it to go and be behind your hometown team and have a fun night there with colleagues or family members? It doesn't get better than that while watching hockey.
No, it really doesn't. Folks, want to go get tickets, check them out at ColoradoGritHockey.com. Eric, I absolutely love when you can come on and help us set us straight on the hockey side of things with this Avalanche team. So we always appreciate you, man. Like I said, I'm the blowhard that's like, just play better in the first, you know? That's an easy fix. Why doesn't Bednar just say that to him? Guys, be better in the first.
Well, hopefully that's what they do tomorrow.
Well, you put in a good word for me. If they need any of that kind of advice, I've got it ready to go. So you know that, man. Eric, appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right. Anytime.
Eric Lacroix talking to us about a little bit of everything. But, dude, he's been pretty optimistic about the Avs all year. Fair to say? Eric's been very optimistic every time we've had him on the show. That's the first sense of doom I have heard in his voice when talking about Georgie, when talking about Georgiev, the goalie for this Avalanche team. He's concerned. So what do you do? What do you do at this stage? I mean, do you have to consider making some kind of a move? Are you going to try to go? What can you even get? Some kind of blockbuster deal? I don't know. That's a big concern for this Avs team. 12:48 the time. We'll wrap up this hour. We got buy or sell coming up. Our new feature we do in the 1 o'clock hour. So we're looking forward to that. We want you to participate with us. Would you buy this or would you sell it when it comes to sports topics that we're hitting on a daily basis? It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on our, you guys want to get into our text line, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. This Sports Illustrated story, man, it sure sounds like it's the end. And we talked about earlier, the publisher of Sports Illustrated notified employees it is planning to lay off a significant portion, probably all, of their employees at this stage. It's kind of a sad thing, huh? Sports Illustrated, man. The outlet staff, letting go of the entire staff pretty much is happening after the license to use the iconic brand's name in print and digital was revoked. Yeah, it's a bummer, man, but I'm telling you, just weird things have happened over the years with Sports Illustrated. You had talked about, Angel, like they're not doing as many sports stories as they used to. You know, that's how these things happen. If you start going away from who you truly are, you're going to see stuff like this over the years. And then the AI story came out. Was that the nail in the coffin, you think? This AI story where basically it's fake people. These are not real people. But they're pretending to be reviewers of products and going to places and then they're writing stories. That was bad, dude. That could have been it. That could have been the final thing.
No, I mean, that's just kind of against, you know, there's no official rules of journalism as far as I know, but that's one of the things is, you know, report the facts.
Authentic.
Don't just make stuff up.
Yeah, be authentic. You know, if you're going to be a reviewer, be a person first, you know, and then actually review it. Like, that was a wild thing, dude. You're screwing over your readers at that stage. As a result of the license being revoked, we will be laying off staff that work on the SI brand. An email went out to employees this morning. Sports Illustrated's employees union said in a statement that the layoffs would be a significant number and possibly all. Said the guild statement called for Authentic Brands Group to ensure the continued publication of SI and allow it to serve their audience in the way that it has for over 70 years. Mm. It's a sad day. It is. I mean, sucks for people to lose jobs and everything, but I can't say that I was really into the Sports Illustrated thing anymore. I bought that Nuggets one. That's the first Sports Illustrated magazine I purchased, which might be worth a lot of money now. Now that they're going out of business and I get the one Nuggets championship special, what do you think? I go get Joker to sign it? Jamal, little signature there next time you and I go down there for date day? When we go to media day?
Possible.
We just see if we can get the boys to sign it. What do you think? I become fanboy.
More valuable if that's the only championship they get. So let's not hope for that.
That's tough. How valuable are we talking?
Well, if they win another one, it's...
Yeah, but if they don't, are we... How, I mean...
Then it's like, hey, that's the one they ever got.
That's the one. And that's not coming out anymore. No Sports Illustrated. I mean, that's an interesting one. All right. Buy or sell coming up next. New segment we're doing. I give you a sports topic. We're going to go over three sports topics. Are you buying it? Are you selling it? You in on it? You out? Talk about it next.